Hello, hello. You're listening to a special edition of Is Good on a Sunday afternoon. Today's January 7th, 2007. Still not used to saying that. My guest today is Ghost Town. We're going to start off by playing a track from his iPod, actually, but some recorded music. We're having a few technical difficulties today because, of course, it's a Sunday and it's Kill Radio. But we're going to make this work. So, whenever you're ready, we'll play this track. This is Ghost Town. You listen to Is Good on killradio.org.
Dude.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, special Sunday edition with Ghost Town. How's it going, man?
Good. We're great.
So let's just start off with the basics. Who are you and what do you play?
I'm Andrew. I write the songs, play guitar, and this is George. George plays drums.
Is it just the two of you, or?
We had a bass player, and he actually just quit a week ago. He was a fantastic player. Did upright, which is pretty rare, and he was great at it. And so he's no longer. We got to find something
else. Was it something you said?
No, I think he just didn't like L.A., and he's making plans to move back to Chicago, and says he won't leave for 2 months, but I think he's done. So had like 3 more shows to do in this month, and he just backed out.
Oh, backed out of the shows as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
So...
Well,
did the last show by ourselves, and it felt pretty good, and just kind of an acoustic thing.
But you're still sort of missing that full sound.
Oh,
that you
yeah.
Had in your
I
head.
Mean, we had a solid 3-piece, and we're just starting out. It'd been about 4 or 5 months, and felt like it was all together, and I was ready to take it to another level, try to find a lead guitarist or something like that. So
now, is Ghost Town a collaborative process, or is it sort of Andrew and his band?
I had a bunch of songs done, and I'd done all the recordings myself, and I basically put a band together. He's friends with a guy I worked with, and that's kind of the way I liked it. Everybody just kind of bumped into each other, and the bass player actually met on Craigslist, but as it turns out, he went to the same college I did back in Chicago, and was good friends with one of my best friends, and so we actually been to the same parties and probably played music together, and don't even remember. So it's a small world.
Yeah. Well, that's the way a lot of these things come together, you know. It's like, because that's actually like going to be a serious challenge for you to find a bass player that's going to fit in, as opposed to, like, you're more likely to bump into a bass player at a party.
Yeah.
And find out you have similar tastes in music and stuff like that.
And that's kind of the way I prefer it. So it is going to be a challenge to see if we can get this going.
Well, we'll get into the whole project and how it came to be in a bit. Why don't we jump into a live song? What do you got for us first?
This is a song I wrote not too long ago. It's kind of a, I don't know what you say, bluegrass almost? Okay.
All right, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Stories you can't tell, like a bookworm being locked up in jail. Hell no, I don't wanna go. That's so okay. Say that's fine, go on, be that way. Like a guitar with no strings and a penguin with its wings. A stone that's overturned and a carpet it got no burns. Well, it's a killer deal, like something you want. This world door that's always closed. Our friend and his foes, a pimp without no holes, and nobody out, nobody knows. Well, it's a killer deal, like something you won't steal. Got you running around, third wheel, high, high, killer deal.
You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Ghost Town. That was fantastic, man. That was awesome.
A little nervous start now.
All right, so we've listened to one recorded track, we listened to a live track, and I've already heard sort of a little bit of spice from several different genres. There were some electronic influences in the first track that we listened to. There's the bluegrass in this one. There's folk, there's rock. When people ask you, what's Ghost Town sound like? What do you tell them?
I don't know what to tell them usually. It's kind of, I always compare it to other musicians, and I get a lot of back just because he has the same approach. Which
you have a similar vocal quality too, I think.
That too, but he's somebody who was a big influence just because he was always all over the place experimenting with sounds. You know, it's kind of like I love all kinds of music, so I wind up writing all kinds of music.
So what you're saying is there wasn't any sort of one style that when you set out to do your own music, you knew you were going to do. You just kind of started writing and it came out this way?
Definitely. I don't plan anything. I have no idea. I mean, a lot of bands, they'll have one strict sound that they do. And I don't know, it gets kind of boring. If I were to try and take that approach, I wouldn't even know how to go about doing that.
Now working with other artists, like with the drums, like do you feel sort of a responsibility to capture what's going on in his head, or does it do you just sort of come up with it and you gotta see if it works?
I think usually I just come up with what feels best, and then Andrew will give me well, how about trying this beat or this rhythm. But I think I for the most part I usually have the freedom to throw whatever percussive rhythm feels appropriate for the song.
Do you think about what kind of song it's gonna be before you go in, like with this last song that we heard, it had that bluegrass feel to it. So you think, okay, I gotta do a bluegrass style percussion for it.
Right, right. Whatever rhythm is appropriate to it. Yeah, and a lot of the times, also when I first joined the band, Andrew already had a lot of these home demos already made, so the drums were already laid down, and the drums that were already laid down, they were it's something that I would do myself, so I didn't have to really go in there and change anything too much. So luckily, it's how should I say this? I think that the drumming blueprints were already pretty much laid out, so I just had to sit in there and pretty much play what was already done before drum tracks.
Did you feel like a pressure to do it well enough that you could sort of put your mark on it, so that you didn't feel replaceable from late other previously laid down tracks?
Not
or drum
really.
Machines or anything like
no,
that?
No, not really.
We're pretty
no.
casual.
Yeah,
I don't like to be bossy at all. The only thing I'll ever tell him is, maybe we should try being loud here and then quiet in this section just to give it more dynamic. But otherwise, I feel like an ass if I try telling him no.
Yeah, I didn't feel too bullied by the drum machine. So.
Oh, that's good.
Intimidated or threatened. So,
how did it all start for you, Andrew, as a musician? Did it begin with guitar?
No, I started playing piano when I was a little kid. I kind of just jumped into it, and then my mom started giving me lessons, and I knew that I could play music and I had an interest, so I'd always been fooling around with instruments, and I didn't pick up a guitar until I was 12 or 13, so I've been doing that for well over 10 years.
And do you remember your first guitar, what it was?
It was a Hondo 2. It was a Les Paul ripoff, and it could barely hold a tune.
What were you thinking when you were that kid and you picked up the guitar for the first time, and Did you have images in your head of like sort of your favorite musicians and sort of emulating them?
I don't know. I first time I heard an electric guitar was the first time I was blown away. My buddy had a big setup of his dad's at home, and we plugged that thing in, and you didn't even need to know how to play it. I just remember it sounded awesome, and that's when I knew I wanted to get good at it.
And you just practice on your own till you sort of figured it out, or did you also take guitar lessons?
I took lessons for a while, but I hated it. Because I think I had enough intuition just to teach myself.
It's weird. So few artists that I've had in on the show have taken actual guitar lessons.
I hated it. It felt like homework, whereas I used to play for fun all the time, and I could pick up a tablature book and learn how to do it that way and basically give myself a lesson. And you'd go into sitting there with an instructor and learning all this theory. It was like it took the fun out of it.
At what point did you decide, okay, now I'm gonna make a band? I'm going to be this.
I've been in about two or three bands that I put together, and I don't know. I can't help but sit around and play guitar and write, so it's always going to be a project, always for the rest of my life. So it'd be nice to have one really good band and do it right, and that's kind of what I'm trying to do now.
How did you come down, like after those first couple of experiences with other bands, how did you decide to now do Ghost Town? And
to be patient, like I was saying, to try and find... I'd only want to play with friends, you know. People just kind of fell into a groove. Otherwise, it's not fun. So I guess that's what I learned playing with these other people. I just threw people in there to get it done, and it just never felt right, so...
Sorry, a little siren interlude as we record on the median strip of a major freeway. So, let's talk about vocals then. Did you just start like when you were 12 singing along with the guitar and just sort of pick it up?
Oh, that was the worst. I have these old recordings and I was horrible at singing, and I still don't know how well I sing, but I loved playing guitar and I just got sick of, you know, playing alone. So I just tried to start singing and I just kept doing it. And I've been doing that for about 10 years. And
are there things in music, in modern music, that you hear that you think, you know what, I want to avoid doing that. That doesn't sound like that's something I like, either
probably
a style of singing.
Of it.
Yeah. Is that what are some of the things that sort of stick out for you as like, you know, God, you know, somebody kill me if I start doing music like that, if I start singing like that or
if
playing
I start
guitar like
costumes
that.
Or something. And makeup and that I don't know. That's a tough question. So for you
it sounds like it's more about the just the casual, just like being the musician, writing songs, playing good music. It's not all of the pomp and circumstance of having a band.
I like to think of music as a good accident. So
a good accident.
That's I guess that's my approach, and the only way I could ever, if I ever was successful at doing it, is if I did it for fun and it just kind of happened. And I don't know, not much of a businessman.
does that concern you though, like as you continue to do Ghost Town and more people start getting into your music, eventually, you know, you'll start selling some music and there will be a business aspect to
it. That would be nice, but I wouldn't know how to ever take it there, you know. I've never thought that far ahead. I think George is more the businessman.
Well, George, what do you think is going to happen with Ghost Town? Like, you guys are, you know, recording some music. You guys are playing out live.
We're playing live, and like Andrew had mentioned, we played Rusty Surf Ranch over in Santa Monica two nights ago, and our bass player, you know, quit the band like I think the day before, pretty much.
Yeah.
So it was either cancel the show and never play there again, burn our bridges, or play there acoustically.
I'd love to go back there in the summer.
Yeah. So we pretty much got together that next night, the night before the show, and like whipped an acoustic set up like in an hour. So right now I'm just trying to take it day by day. I guess the first thing I'm trying to think of is bass player. We're going to find a bass player.
Yes, if anybody knows someone.
Yeah, that's long term. I'd like to keep recording, keep playing with Andrew. You know his.
He's got several projects going on. Drummers do.
Yeah, I'm a musical whore, so I can't commit. So,
but would you think you would commit though? Like, if
Ghost
Town really
to Andrew,
off,
I'm committed. You know, definitely. But long term, yeah, I'd definitely have to record. Recording in the past for me, you know, I've always preferred to play live. You know, recording has always been something that has intimidated me. You know, I've done it before. I've recorded on demos and whatnot, but recording something I would definitely have to do more with Andrew, you know, getting a little bit more comfortable with it. So I think it's another challenge that I would like to overcome, you know.
That's funny because you often hear the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, that people are maybe a little bit nervous about being in front of a crowd.
And, yeah.
But that's probably what
energizes
you.
I'm sitting way in the back on drums. No one sees me, so no one cares. So, you know.
How do you feel about that, like recording versus live?
Well, I went to school to be a studio engineer, so that's what I know best. And I've only recently been playing on a stage for the past 2-3 years. So I still get nervous. I have a little bit of stage fright. So
God, why don't we?
That's wow, great. I just noticed
you complete each other. It's beautiful. Why don't we jump into another live song, and then we'll talk about those early experiences playing live in front of an audience and how terrifying they must have been. What do you got for us?
This is another one in the same vein as the last song. I kind of wrote them around the same time, so it's called Cracks in Time.
All right, you're listening to Is Good. My guest is Ghost Town.
Matter too much, there's nothing left to say. Except how are you and maybe how was the day? You see, it's on my mind. Then it's gone through the cracks in time. And soon enough, you better face all the ask for too much anyway. Except are you going on? Are you gonna stay? You see, it's on my mind. Then it's gone through the cracks in time. Slip outside into the day. Go and find some shade that the sun has made in a relative way, yeah. In this land, you best get paid. There ain't nothing for free. There ain't nothing for free. Not even your grave. Then it's on and gone to the breaking of the dawn. You got it all wrong. Home, just at home to the places that I know. I gotta go, I'll let it in. And maybe one day there'll come a time I could be yours, you'll choose to be mine. I'll never be waiting for more games to play. I've had it.
Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Ghost Town. Andrew, if you can bear to live through it again, tell me about the first experience up on stage. Well, give me both, actually.
This
tell
would have
me.
Been, I guess first time I remember having to play in front of people. It wasn't guitar or anything. It was a piano recital. My mom dressed me up nice. And
I was gonna say, tell me the first time, and then with Ghost Town
stage, and you could hear the echo in there, and I had like these loud clacking penny loafers on, and, and I remember as soon as I walk up, I just hear it echoing, and then my heart started pounding and got all nervous. And then I'd, like, try to shuffle across the stage.
So your feet didn't make as much noise.
So that was when I learned I had stage fright. I was probably about 12 years old.
What about as an older, as more mature adult, playing guitar, maybe before Ghost Town with one of your other bands?
I was nervous, but, I mean, as soon as I got into it, after about two songs, you know, alcohol helps, too.
The bands you had before Ghost Town, were those also your projects, or they were bands you were in?
Yeah, it was always my project. I had a roommate that I lived with. We were good friends, worked at a music publishing company together. And he had a couple songs that we did of his and just kind of put a band together. Found a bass player on Craigslist and drummer that I actually worked with at the time. Was an amazing drummer, and it didn't feel right. I guess the guitarist and bass player didn't feel right. That's hard to find.
So this is the band that you're doing now. It's Ghost Town, and it's, you know, you hope that this is going to be the last project that you do, that Ghost Town is going to last. So the first time that you got up on a stage as Ghost Town, what was that like? Were you thinking, okay, this is really a reflection on me?
And we had a great response, and that was the first time I'd ever felt that excited about the music we were doing. We just kind of locked in, and people jumped up out of the chairs and started dancing. I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, we must have something good going. And that was how most of the shows went after that. I didn't realize I was playing dance music.
So you hadn't thought of that before you got on the stage,
got up,
huh?
And I was like, oh, shit.
Let's talk about the writing a little bit. What is the thing that you keep coming back to? Is there a theme in your music? Are you writing about a personal experience, or is it more abstract? Are you a storyteller?
That's what I want to focus on more, because a lot of times you'll just take what you tend to think about the same thing almost every single day, like going to work, going through your routine, how you're going to make money, whatever. And that, you can't write that same song over and over. So
right.
I'd like to start trying to tell more stories, or that's got to be the next focus. I have no idea. I really got to work on that, because I got about five songs in the works, no words for them yet.
Well, when you were younger and you started writing songs, what were you writing about? Like, what was it you felt you needed to express in lyrical form?
Back then, when I first started writing, I was really into Nirvana at the time, like most anybody, and I loved his lyrics, so a lot of my lyrics didn't make a whole lot of sense to anybody else, and just random bits and pieces of phrases that sounded interesting. That's always a fun approach, and I still do that. But I don't know. I guess that kind of song never really hits anybody. They don't know what the hell you're talking
right.
about.
Right. Well, you were talking before about how your audience would get up and dance, and that would kind of surprise you. Like, before you saw that, what did you want out of your audience? Did you want them to listen to the lyrics? Did you want them to sort of bob their heads to the music?
I didn't really care, as long as I think the most important thing is the, not the words, but the melody. And the energy that comes from the entire band. Words should be always kind of secondary, but, you know, some people love the words. Like, I can't understand what you're saying, you know? And so if you can pull it all together. I don't know, what was the question?
Just I was trying to get at what you want out of your audience. You know, like some people, it's really important that, like, you know, if everybody isn't dancing, then they're not doing their job. Or for some people, it's like, you know what, I want a 16-year-old girl to be driving down a dark street and burst into tears because my song came on the radio. You know, that kind of. Do you even think about what your audience is going to get?
I guess I would say they can do whatever they want as long as they enjoy. But the worst is if you're playing a show and everybody's sitting there and look like they're just kind of staring through you and about ready to nod off.
Have you ever had that experience?
Yeah. I almost got angry. I was like, you guys need to start drinking or something.
Universal Bar and Grill?
Yeah. I played a show on my birthday and I was ready to go. I was into it and I was partying and... And there was like some metal band behind us, and whoever books the shows, like everything was mixed match. It's nice when the whole night's cohesive, and they weren't into us at all.
That's a huge challenge for like an independent band in LA. Like, unless you have somebody intentionally booking you along with other bands that sound right together, so many bands come in and they you know, could be like a new wave band or something like that, and they got to go up after, you know, hard thrash or something.
Yeah, somebody were in charge of the night. I mean, that happens all the time. I wish they would just use a little more common sense, because the bar would turn into a party if everybody liked all the other bands. All the fans would make friends with each other. And
yeah, and then, you know, the new fans, you know, these bands would get new fans and so on and so forth. That's sort of the idea, but it's so often, and I notice that too. Like, I'll go out to see a band or something, and I won't even be able to tolerate the band that's opening for them or the band that's going on after them. I'll have to, like, rush out.
The night should make sense, but we've also been doing these shows at this place called Crane's Tavern, and my friend Lissy puts it together. I think, what's the guy's name? Joel from Pedestrian. You had him down here. He was up there playing.
We just saw Pedestrian at Hotel Cafe the other day. It's a great show.
I saw they were playing. They're great. And but it's cool. She and some other friends are in charge of putting those nights together. And like I said, they make the whole night cohesive. All these bands are, you know, in the same vein somehow. And it turns into a party every Wednesday night. And you get on stage at midnight and you're thinking, oh, this is the worst slot ever. And, you know, and it's jam-packed and people are partying. It's cool.
Now, George, you made an allusion to being in the back and not having to worry about the audience and everything, but that probably gives you a pretty good perspective on whether or not the show is going well.
Yeah,
what do you think makes a good live show?
I get a bird's eye view right there. What makes a good live show?
Yeah.
The same thing that Andrew had mentioned. I mean, I make it a point, you know, to, like, sit in the audience and, you know, peek over the cymbals and see what people's reactions are. And, yeah, if people are just sitting there with a comatose look in their face, you know, it's generally not a good sign. But if you see people, you know, kind of like bopping in their seat, you know, that's a good idea. That's a good, you know, way to gauge how the show is going.
Does it affect how you play? Like,
not really.
You try to get them up, you know, wake them up
or
something?
Not really. I mean, my mentality is like 90% of people in audiences, you know, don't know anything about music. So we could be the best band in the world. We could be the worst band in the world. You know, people really aren't too knowledgeable, I would say, you know.
It seems like if you go out and you have a good time, you tend to assign that to the things around you, right? So if you had a good time and the band wasn't good, you might not even remember that. You might think the band is good.
Exactly. Now, if the audience members were mostly made up of, like, musicians or whatnot, then I would take, you know, their opinion a little bit more critical, but, you know, most people don't know anything about music.
Yeah.
Or anything in general. I mean, look who's president of the United States.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, it's... It's a problem.
It doesn't bother me.
let's play another track off of what you brought in, and then we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, what you're going to do with your recorded music and how you're going to get it to people. What do you want to play?
This one is kind of in the same vein as the first one we played. It's kind of electronic. Let me find it first. Like a Dog. I guess that's what you can call it.
Yeah. All right. So this is Like a Dog by Ghost Town. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. Stick around. We'll be right back.
mind of man rests on a delicate balance between reality, the world of light, and the other, darker world below the threshold of consciousness.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org, having a special weekend edition of the show with Ghost Town. Let's talk about the recording process. Is this part, these songs we were just listening to, is that part of a an album that you're putting together, an EP?
I've got about 18 fully polished off songs that I did.
And you recorded all this yourself?
Yeah, I have a home studio, and I was trained as a sound engineer, and
that's nice.
Pretty much do it track by track. So
that's a great bonus. You know, like so many musicians have to.
Yeah,
and you can trust yourself to do it right. You know,
it's took me quite a while to ever get there, because the hardest thing to do is ever mix yourself, because you're overly critical in the first place. So you want to hide your vocals and put all kinds of effects on it. But other than that, it's a blast puzzling it together. You do it track by track, pretty much.
And do you have plans to release something?
Yeah,
of course. Why else would I record it? But I mean, do you have something specific? Is there like a 4-track EP or an 18-track full length or something?
I've got like five of my favorite songs. These are probably a couple of that I'm playing for you that I think are fully done. I've looked into music publishing. Like I said, I used to work for a company and tried to get them some tracks, and they're interested in it. They wanted to check out the live shows first. That's one of the best ways to get your music out there, is if you could ever strike a good publishing deal.
Do you have any live shows coming up in the near future?
We're going to do a little, like we lost a bass player, so we're still doing a little show at the Cat Club. We're going to open up fairly early, 8:30 or something on a weekday.
It's a great venue, man.
And Cranes again, which is one of the most fun shows I've done. It's at midnight on Wednesday, the 31st. And
do you like to play out live a lot? Like get as many shows as you can, or do you kind of need to pace yourself?
We were just kind of getting off the ground, you know. And I was extremely busy when we even put the project together. I just got offered to do a show, and I was like, "Oh, give me a month." It's like I'm gonna throw a band together, and that's how I, you know, pulled in George and the bass player, and it all just seemed like lock in. I was ready to go, but
So do you ever?
I was ready to start trying to book as many shows as I could and get serious about it, and that's the day he backed out.
Yeah, just when the steam started to build up, and well, actually, just when the ball started to roll, you know, all of a sudden the brakes got slammed. So
I'm talking to him. He's like, "I just don't like L.A. I gotta go back to Chicago." And I'm like, "Oh man, all that effort."
Has the music changed at all? Like since you lost the bass player, have you been doing things a little bit differently with the drums or guitar, vocals, or anything like that?
I think we pull it off well, because I mean, as a three piece, I mean, the bass is obviously that you need to have that, but when we dropped it down to an acoustic, and you know, he I guess he kind of helped pull it together, because he's using all the tricks that he's got to try to diversify the
sound.
I've
assumed more of a percussionist role versus a drummer. And even when we were a three piece, it's not like I had this, like, you know, 12 piece, you know, 50 cymbals around me and, you know, going double bass. No, I mean, it was already, you know, very stripped down, very basic, you know. So to go from a drummer to more of a percussionist role, it wasn't that difficult, so.
But Andrew, are you currently writing new music now?
All the time.
Are you writing it thinking that you're gonna get a bass player, or are you writing it thinking I might not have a bass player, so I better write this to not have much of a bass?
I guess I don't ever worry about them. The only way I would ever write a song with a bass player is if we were just hanging out together and working on songs, and it just kind of came out of nowhere. Otherwise, you know, you just piece it together later on. I don't know how other bands make their music. Some people all do it together, always at the same time. I write the songs. So,
how do you get inspired to write? Do you see something and you go, oh God, I gotta get home, I gotta write this down, or do you carry a pen around
with you?
That'll
happen sometimes, and I keep telling myself to carry a pen and a little pad, and, you know, just like one phrase that goes through your head, or. That's the worst. I'm like, oh, I'll remember it.
And you never do.
Never do. You don't even remember you were thinking about writing a song, let alone what you were gonna say.
Does it start with the words first for you, or does it usually start with like a
never?
You know?
I half the time, most of the time, I just start mumbling out riffs, and I don't. It's like I'm speaking in tongues or something.
So you know the tune, and then you'll.
Yeah. And then if some maybe like it'll be one interesting phrase that I liked, and I somehow try to make that into a story, or I've taken a lot of old stuff that I wrote and somehow pieced it together. And I mean, the lyrics, I never really cared like what I was saying. I don't think that's overly important, at least for me.
See, you're concerned we weren't gonna have enough to talk about, and here it is, we're almost out of time. I still want to get at least two more songs out of you guys. Let's do another live song before I ask another question. So you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Ghost Town. What's your MySpace, man?
I think it's Sonic Fruits.
What is backslash
Ghost Town? I don't know. Like, half my songs don't even have titles.
If I can search
for Ghost Town and find it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's myspace.com/ I think it is Sonic Fruits.
It is Sonic Fruits.
What is that? A reference to
that was
another?
Before, I've had that page for like 3 years.
Oh, so that was
so
like your
it
old.
Was some name I was going under at the time.
Cool.
And I've been Time Bandits and Ghost Town.
All right, see, you let me ask another question. What are you going to play? What are you going to play for us?
This is a song. It's kind of folky. It's called Running. I get a lot of compliments on it, so you guys will probably like it.
All right, let's do it. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Hit the road. There's only one place and you gotta go. Find out willow trees blowing beneath the sea. You can rest your bones and be your own. You won't be running, you'd be arriving to the place your heart knows. You won't be running, you'd be arriving.
Lost the string there, man. Busted it. I got another one I can do on this 12 string.
Yeah, that's cool. Wow, that's the live experience. So it just burst, huh?
Yeah.
Just snapped. Are we going to do a different song, or are we going to do the same song?
Oh, this one's in an open tuning, so it's got a great sound to it. So.
All right, let's keep it going.
Do I have time for just one more?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, cool. It's a brand new guitar, too. Well, the one I just broke the string on.
Oh,
I bought
really?
It like 3 days ago. Rebel Music. Mm-hmm.
Tony Rebel of music, a cut straight to you, cause it's moving. Hey, hey, oh. When you're sleeping instead of beeping, the music's growing and softly creeping. Hey, your day goes smoothly, your day goes lovely. Hey, and now you're driving, smiling, arriving. What perfect timing, this is sublime. A place of business, they got your number. Kick screaming, drifting under thunder. Listen, team, 40 hours so is the test of time. Listen now, listen, team, 40 hours so is the test of time. Let it show. You're arriving like skydiving on steel horses, just abiding. Hey, hey, the stony rubber of music that cuts right through you, cause it's moving. Hey. SEO songs that do the marching with the deep rules and the timing. Hey, hello. Ooh. Listen, team, 40 hours so is the test of time. Let it show. Listen, team. Body's out, so it's a test of time. Let it show.
Glad you had a spare guitar, man. Not a lot of that going around these days. thank you so much for coming in.
Appreciate it.
You mentioned before that you had gone through a bunch of different names, ideas for your projects. How did you settle on Ghost Town? What does Ghost Town mean?
When we put this set together, it was a lot more rock and roll beforehand, and Ghost Town just kind of seemed to go along with it. Since we had an upright bass player, I decided to switch all the songs around kind of to have a country sound, and somehow Ghost Town seems
sort of this allusion to sort of
kind of that western, you know,
tumbleweed.
Kind of, yeah.
All right. So we're not sure what your MySpace is, but everyone should go to it. We think it's Sonic Fruits.
You can search for Ghost Town and you'll see a
All right, and then picture. You have some. I assume you have some music up there.
Oh yeah, just the four songs you're allowed, I assume.
Yeah. So if someone wants to get more of your music, they're just gonna have to come check out your next live show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you can
where.
Find it on that MySpace page. The next show is Wednesday the 17th at 8:30 at the Cat Club. Then there is Wednesday at midnight at Crane's Tavern in Hollywood. And that one will be a lot of fun. So,
all right, Andrew, George, guys, thanks for coming in.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Ghost Town.